All right. Good morning, guys. Hey, if you have, what's the children's group ages? Children's church? Children leave. Get up out of here. Yeah, there it is. There it is. All right. Hey, if you have a Bible, turn to John 15 with me. John 15. We'll start in verse 1. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about abiding, remaining in Christ and what that means. This weekend, Reagan, my wife, has been at VN working the girls' weekend, which is interesting because it turns out I don't know how to boil an egg, which is a problem when it comes to breakfast. Also, I thought I was going to not spend any money this weekend and not go out to eat any, and then the night I dropped her off, I drove by El Toro and just fell really quickly. And so the weekend's been a little bit of a cluster. But that's neither here nor there. Talking about abiding, you may not be able to tell now, but I used to be quite the raccoon hunter. We would take these dogs, and we would go hunt raccoons with them in the middle of the night. And so I was really into it when I was about 15, and so we would go to these hunts, not just do it recreationally, but also go on these hunts. I mean, some of these dogs are like $2,500 more. I mean, I don't know. And so we decided we were going to go to Oklahoma for a raccoon hunt, which looking back now sounds super silly. But I was stoked about it. And so I went with this friend of mine. So we get these dogs, we load them up, and we head to Oklahoma. And the thing is, my friend was always kind of the lead hunter. Like, he was showing me how to do everything. And with these dogs, there's trackers, right? They wear these collars, and then you watch them on the Garmin, and you watch them run around, and so you can see where they're at, so you can go to them whenever they tree a raccoon. And so that's all well and good. The problem was, all my time hunting with him, I never really understood how to work the Garmin, which is an issue. And so this particular night at this hunt, I'm by myself, like with a random group of guys hunting. And my buddy says, "Hey, you know how to work the Garmin, right?" And me, I'm like, "I'll figure it out. You know, yeah, I know how to work it." And so I get out there in the middle of the woods in Oklahoma, and I have this dog, and I have the collar on, and I realize I can't see him on the Garmin before I let him go, right? And so you would think I would stop, not let him go until I figure it out. But just out of sheer panic, I just let him go. And I was like, hopefully I'll figure it out. And so that's a problem, right? Because the job for the dog is for him to go where he's supposed to go. And then I'm going to stay with him with the tracker. And then I'll come get him. I'd never figured it out. And so we're 30 minutes into this hunt. And they're like, "Hey, buddy, where's your dog at?" And I'm like, "I think he's over there somewhere." "Over where?" "You know, you hear that dog barking? I think that's him." And so the night turns into a cluster pretty quickly. 30 minutes after that, I have no clue where this dog is. I'm panicking. I'm trying to call my buddy whose dog it is. And he's like, "Are you kidding me?" And long story short, I had to walk 4 miles one way to go get this dog. I'm like trying to listen to his bark to go find him. And eventually I find him after praying to God, saying I'll never commit a sin again in my life if I can just find this dog, right? But the truth was, I was supposed to stay with the dog, right? Like, that's what our agreement was. I stay with you, you stay with me. That's kind of the thought. But I didn't come through on my end of the deal. And I think similarly, when I think about abiding, that's what the first thing I think of is remaining with one another, right? Remaining in the agreement, in the covenant that we had. And I think as we go into God's word today and we talk about abiding in Christ, guys, we just sing a song. I think we sing some lyrics sometimes just because they're on the screen, but the song we just sang said, "Break down all the walls of my religion. Any tradition I have, just break it down because I want to see you for who you really are." And that's the Christ that we're abiding in, the Christ who is over our bounds, who we can't comprehend. And he says, "Hey, remain in me and I'll remain in you." And so that's what we're going to read today in John 15. And so I just want, as we go in, I just want to pray, Lord, would you raise our expectation for you? God, would we have a bigger view of who you are? The God we read about in Scripture, that's who you really are, Lord. God, the same things you did thousands of years ago, you're still working now. It's the same Spirit And so, Lord, we welcome you. We say we love you. May you be glorified in what our expectations raise for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in verse 1, he says, I'm the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Oh, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that would be even more fruitful. He says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Or your translation may say, abide in me as I also abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so Jesus very plainly puts it out there. He says, hey, I'm the vine. Everything flows from me. All life flows from me. And anything that is not connected to me doesn't live. And guys, I want to preface really this whole message by this idea that God's kingdom is not about heaven and hell. God's kingdom is about dwelling with him. That's what scripture's all about. You start out in the garden, and it's Adam and Eve walking perfectly in the garden in communion with God. And then there's separation because of a lie we believed about God. And then all of scripture is God chasing after his people, the people of Israel chasing after them, freeing them, and then them going back into captivity, putting themselves back there. It's separation, and the whole time God is longing to be with his people in communion with them. And then he says, hey, what? I'm going to send Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement. And then that's not good enough. I'm going to send his spirit so that he may dwell within us. Right? And that's perfect communion with Christ. And then it gets even better because he says, and then you're going to go from glory to glory, right? With eternity with me. And eternity doesn't start when you take your last breath. Why? Because if that is what you're waiting on, then death is your savior. Well, your savior is Christ Almighty, who says, I'm going to come dwell with you. And so that's what we're remaining in. We're remaining in a Christ who says, hey, it's better that I go. That's what he says in John 16. He says, it's better that I go so that the advocate may come, my spirit may come and dwell within you. And so, guys, it's not about heaven and hell. It's about being with Christ. We go from glory to glory. We get to live with Christ here, and it's just living with Christ forever. And hell is separation from God. And you may tell it too, but I can tell you, I've lived in separation from God. And it just provides death. It's just misery. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about remaining in him. And it's the gospel that I can't help but speak to you every time I get up here, that there's life in Christ. Like, that's what it all boils down to. There's life found in Christ. And it's a gospel of freedom, not control. And so he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And we read this and we think, yeah, they get cut off. Anybody who doesn't dwell with Christ gets cut off and thrown into the fire. And immediately our American brains go straight to hell. What Christ is saying is there's no life outside of me. And guys, all that we're searching for is life. Like, God has given us a desire to search for life. And it's to be found in him. And so often we look in every other area. And so he's saying, hey, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And you're supposed to dwell with me and live through me. And so to abide just means to stay. It means to dwell, to remain. That's what the word abide means. And I think we look at this idea that there's no true life outside of the vine. He's speaking to the disciples and making it clear that if we want to flourish in life, it's only found in dwelling with him. Like, that's where life flourishing comes from, is dwelling with the vine. An unfruitful life, as we go on to talk about, it says in verse 4, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So where does the fruit come from? It comes from God, right? It comes from the vine, remaining in him. And so often we hear in the church, hey, you need to produce some fruit. right? Your life needs to produce fruit. And the truth is, you need to remain and dwell with God, and he promises that you will produce fruit. You will bear fruit when you remain with Christ, when you dwell with him. And so it's not about me trying to produce fruit. My job is to dwell with Christ in the Spirit of God and to welcome him and to recenter my life on the victory that is won in him. And he says, when my Spirit's inside you, then you will bear fruit. Why? Because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and it calls us into truth, and it leads us in the way of truth. And so our actions, what we do, comes from dwelling with Christ, and we see the fruit from that. And so moving on in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. There's the promise. You will bear much fruit when you remain in me. He says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you, done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing you to be myself, to be my disciples. And so Jesus, he puts out a pretty bold promise there, right? If you remain in me, then whatever you ask to be done in my name will be given to you. That's a bold statement. Hey, whatever you ask, it'll be given to you when you remain in me. And so why is that? Because he says, it says that Christ has given us a new heart, right? And so as long as we remain with him, our desires turn into his desires. The kingdom things that we're longing for turn into things that he's saying, hey, I just want you to ask. Like, I want you to seek it. That's when I talk about raising our expectations for God. That's what I'm talking about. Chris mentioned this morning, talking about Jesus teaching us how to pray. Right, he teaches us in the Gospels, the disciples asked him, they said, Jesus, how do we pray? Which I think is a pretty terrific question. Okay, shout out to whichever disciple asked that. He said, how do we pray? He said, this is what I want you to do. He says, pray my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he said. He said, I want you to contend for heaven on earth. That's how I want you to pray. And so I want us to just think about what heaven's like. Are there any broken relationships? No. Any broken bodies? No. Any disease? No. Any unforgiveness? No. Like, it's full of reconciliation and wholeness. That's what heaven is. And he said, that's what I want you to pray for. That's what I want you to ask for. I want you to pray that my kingdom come on earth. And so, guys, as we talk about remaining in him, we're remaining in the power that his Spirit brings. We're resting in the promises and the victory that he already holds. That's what remaining is. It's going to the source of life and saying, this is what I look for to sustain me. Not a job, not a relationship, not an accomplishment. I look to Christ to sustain me, and that's what I'm dwelling in. As we talk about an unfruitful life being an unfulfilled one, our design is to remain in Christ. That's how God designed our life to flourish. He has designed us to be fruitful, and so when we aren't fruitful, we look to be fruitful in everything outside of Christ. We're longing to be fruitful because that's how our hearts are made. But so often we look for that fruit to be found in other places, when again, Christ says, hey, I don't want you to look to be fruitful. I want you to look for me, and I'm going to make you fruitful when you obey, right? Because here's the truth. He says, if you remain in me. Because freedom's an invitation. It's an invitation. God invites us into freedom. He invites us into communion. And that's the beauty of the gospel. It's not forced upon us. He says, hey, if you want to be separated from me, fine. There's no life in it. He says, if you remain in me. And so he gives us an action. And our action is to remain in him. And when we remain in him and the Spirit of truth speaks to us, when he speaks to us, we get to obey. We get to act. Because he says, I'm offering you life, but I'm not going to force you to take it. I think about my wife. If I would have asked her to marry me and she didn't know who I was, right? Tanya Ann goes up to her. I've learned Tanya's middle name. It's Tanya Ann Williams, just so y'all know. Tanya goes up to her and is like, hey, Reagan, I heard Mark propose to you. And she's like, what? I didn't know he proposed to me. I don't really even know who he is, right? It's this idea of like, I don't know who this person is, but they're offering me a different life. And I think for many of us, when we talk about Christ, that's what it's like. It's, I don't know anything about it. And he says, I'm offering you life. And I just ask that you remain in me. And everything else will flow from that. And I want to talk a little bit just again about this idea that Jesus doesn't tell us to bear fruit. He tells us to remain in him. Because our good works are nothing outside of the vine. If they're not flowing from a true relationship with the King, it's just works. Like, it's literally just deeds. You think about Peter cutting off the dude's ear when they tried to arrest Jesus. And Jesus looks at him like, what are you doing? I didn't ask you to do that. And Peter's, I get it. If I'm Peter, I probably would have done the same thing. And Peter thinks he's doing a good thing, but Jesus says, have you not been listening to me? Like, this has to happen. And so often we do things that we think are good, and the Lord's like, I never asked you to do that. I never asked you for that. But we think we're doing a good thing. He says, I want you to remain in me. I want you to speak to me, because when you speak and you listen, I'll answer. And that's remaining in him. And it's doing what the Father says rather than what we think is good. Because sometimes our best intentions are not what the Lord has for us. And so we are abiding in a King who loves his people. He came to bring life, and he loves us. That's the whole story of the gospel. He's for us, and he's saying, I want you to remain in the victory that's already been given to you. I want you to listen to me as I speak to you. We're living and serving a God who's in relation with us, and that's a big deal. That's the expectation we have, that the King we serve is in relation with us, and he sent his Spirit so that we may live now, that eternity can start now. We contend for heaven to come down on earth now, not later. That's what we get to ask. That's what we get to do. We get to remain in him and act when he says to move. And he says, I'll bring you life through that. He promises it. The Spirit of God dwells in the follower of Jesus. He speaks to us. He guides us. So to remain in connection with him just means to obey when he speaks, to listen to him, to look for him. I'll tell you, I don't think I've shared this story, but when I decided to come here to Cedar Creek a couple months ago, I was at a church in Priscilla, not far from here, and it was going great at the church. I mean, it couldn't have been going better. Really didn't have any desire to leave. And one day I was sitting on a tractor at work and listening to some worship music and just asking the Lord to speak to me. And as clear as I could hear it, I just felt like the Lord said, hey, you're going to go to Cedar Creek and serve there. And I was like, okay, cool. If you don't know, I've grown up at this church. And so anyway, again, didn't have any desire to leave my church, and so I just kind of dismissed it. And then a week later, it was like 9 o'clock at night, Randall called me, and he says, hey, want to ask if you'd be interested in coming to be the youth pastor at the church. And I didn't tell him what I felt like I heard the week before, because I knew he'd be like, well, then, yeah, you got to come on. So I was like, I'll pray about it, you know. I'll see what makes sense, you know. And so anyway, I just continued to go those next couple weeks, knowing really what the answer already was, but looking for a way to say no, because, again, I loved where I was at, and it was going well, and I didn't see a reason to leave. But the truth is, God spoke to me, and my job was really just to say yes. Right, It was just to remain in him. I didn't have to make it make sense. Because nothing in the kingdom makes sense, right? It doesn't, all right? I got a great friend who says, nothing in the kingdom really ever spreadsheets, right? It just doesn't make sense. And so the whole point of me coming here was just remaining in what already he had spoken to me. And guys, that's the same king we serve, that he can do it in your life. He just says, hey, I want you to listen. That's all I want you to do. Does it agree with his word, right? Do you see his character and his word say that? Then move when he says, right? That's remaining in him. It's listening and then it's following. He says, come and follow me. Take up your cross, because it's not always going to make sense. It's not always going to be easy, but it's always going to be fruitful when you remain in me. That's his promise. And so as we close, how do I abide, right? That's a perfect question. How do I abide? Because the truth is, it's not an equation. I can't tell you to do this and then do that, and then great, you've abided. But it's centering ourselves on the power and victory of Christ. It's just refocusing. And as Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? It's emptying ourselves and saying, Lord, come and fill me. Whatever you'd have me do, that's where I'm going. That's what I'm saying. That's how I'm serving. And so it's taking hold of the if Christ offers, and to move when the Spirit of God illuminates what he has for you to do, and let him bring the fruit. That's it. Just be faithful and be obedient and let him bring the fruit. Remain in him. Yes, his word is the great place to start. Do what his word tells you to do. Speak when he tells you to speak. Don't speak when he tells you to shut up, right? You don't always have to have all the right answers. And so the truth is, to abide is literally just to sit in the middle of Christ's victory and what he has for your life. Now, abiding does a couple things for me. It allows me to forgive. It allows me to live in the light. Because my life and fruit comes from the victory and power of Christ, not what I make others believe about me. I can forgive somebody. Why? Because Christ has forgiven me, and I get to remain in him and the victory that he brings. I can live in the light. I can let you know everything about me. I can speak things that I've been holding in. Why? Because I don't need you to believe a false version of myself, because my identity rests in who the King calls me. And he says, as I remain in him, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we get to raise our expectation of the King of glory. Why? Because he said, remain in me and I'll bring the fruit. I'll bring the harvest. All I need you to do is say yes and follow me. And so we have the freedom to forgive. We have the freedom to live in the light. And so as we close, guys, I think we need to really, this idea of sin management, right? I need to stop cussing. I need to stop drinking. I need to stop doing X, Y, and Z. Those are great things. Yes, you should stop doing those. But that's not the mark. Why? Because he says here, he says, you can do all the good things in the world you want, but if you don't remain in me, it's all for nothing. Because it's just misery outside of Christ. There's no life in it. There's no joy. Christ is offering us life, joy, power in the kingdom. He says, this is how I want you to pray. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so maybe you don't have anything in your life that needs wholeness. Maybe your life's perfect. There's no brokenness, no relationships. It's just all great. If so, awesome. But if not, I'd ask you to start contending for God's kingdom to come here on earth. Those that you know that are living a lifeless existence. There's no purpose. There's no remaining in him. I'd ask that you contend for them. Would we rest in the power that Christ has brought, the victory that he's brought? He says, if you remain in me, then I will remain in you, and I will bring the fruit. Let me pray for us as we close. God, thank you. God, that we're not responsible for bringing a harvest, God, but you say, remain in me and I'll do the rest. So, Father, I pray that you would begin to illuminate things that need to be laid down. God, unforgiveness, bitterness, the things that we've been living in darkness, hiding. It would be a people who steps into the light because we know who you call us, and we know that's how you've designed us to live. Father, would Palestine, Texas be changed because of our yes to saying, I will remain in you and let you bring the fruit. God, would the kingdom of heaven invade Palestine, Texas, Lord, and would we do all that you've called us to do in that part? Thank you, God, for the people who are serving in the prison this week for saying yes. Lord, thank you for the many ministries that you've got from this place, Lord. And I pray for those in here who say, man, I've never abided in Christ. I've never started following Jesus. I pray that they would realize there's no life outside of you and that a separated life is not what you've designed us for. Thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.